disciple by his love. This is what Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3. It's coming. Let's read it together. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. What is he saying? That there is a responsibility. So when we talk about people, and we do what? We build them up. So communion today is going to be a little different. I'm going to ask the elders to come and hand out the communion. And so on the way to take the communion, I got a little bucket here. It says, garbage thoughts, stinky thoughts, dark thoughts. On the way to take communion, would you drop them all in there? You know, like, drop them in there. Do it figuratively, okay? Drop them in there and come and take communion. Because I believe that's what Jesus asked us to do in 1 Corinthians 11. Amen? How many knows it's easy to develop some attitudes? Because we think we are right. But actually, in reality, is we have no business judging. Amen? So is that okay? Can I ask the elders to come and help me hand out? And then we'll just come and just figuratively come by the garbage can. And on the way, just drop them in there. In my love, Jesus says. And some of you have heard it. Some of you have heard this scripture before. How many have heard this before? How many is tired of hearing it? No. Okay, let's read it in John chapter 15. John 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll be bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. Let's read it together. If you remain in me if you remain in me, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Abide in his love. Obey his commandments and abide and remain in his love. I have a branch here. Can this branch bear fruit? No. Why not? Because it's not attached to the stem of a tree. But it can bear fruit if you hang it like an ornament. But what happens when I hang this apple as an ornament onto this tree? Let's say in a month from now. It will rot, or it turns into a prune, right? Dried apple. Whatever. And so what happens is, let's say it was a plum. What happens is, sometimes Christians look like a prune because they're not attached. And my friends, they will say it's because of so and so, and they will say because of this and this. But my friends, it is not the reason. It's not the church, it's not the spouse, it's not the government, it's not Trump. It's, my friends, it is because they're not attached to the Spirit. Amen? So the good question, Hans, is how do we get attached to the Spirit? How many likes that's a good question? How to attach to that wine? My father-in-law, he used in the fall, he would take a piece of an apple tree, a new sprout, and he would cut it off, and he would put it in the freezer for the winter. And in the spring, he would go to another apple tree, and he would make a notch in it, and he will graft it together. And within a year, you'll see brand new apples. So he will have an apple tree with maybe four or five different kinds of apples on the same tree. My friends, we need to be grafted into the vine. Amen? So just a quick little word. Adam and Eve were in the presence of God. They had communion with Jesus, with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I need to say that. They talked with him. They walked with him. That old hymn, remember? Then the enemy comes and says in Genesis chapter 3, is it true they cannot eat of all the trees in the garden? And they said, yeah, we can eat of all the trees except for the one in the middle. We can't eat of that one. And Satan says, no, he says, we'll die. And he says, no, you will not die. You'll become like gods. If you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you'll become like gods. And what does that mean, you become like gods? You become the person who judges what's right, what's wrong. And what happened to them? What happened to Adam and Eve when they set themselves up as gods judging what's right and wrong? They lost their relationship with God. Serious business. Judge not, or you will not be judged. Judge, and you'll be judged in the same measure, remember? So my friends, part of this is that when you set yourself up as judged, your heart closes to the ability to love. You weren't called to judge, you were called to love. Excuse me, Hans, that's a good word. You were called to what? To love. I'm going to say that again. Your mission in life, my friends, is to connect with the Holy Spirit that is full of love, joy, peace, that the Father can express his love through you. Amen. So every hero in the Bible and in the modern day that I know of who is doing great exploits for the kingdom has learned one thing. They have learned to connect with God in a very intimate, personal way. Are you with me? Moses, he goes up the mountain. And where are the rest of them? The rest are below. And they say to Moses, you go. Moses goes up in the mountain. And what does he do? What does it mean to abide in him or remain in him? He goes and he listens. Excuse me, guys. Going to God means listening. Mother Teresa said this. Prayer is not asking. Prayer is putting one in the hands of God at his disposition and listening to his voice in the depths of your hearts. He goes up and God gives him the Ten Commandments. Remember? He comes down from the mountain. And when he comes down from the mountain, they have built a golden calf. Frequently, when people are not connected to the Spirit, they become religious and they create a false image of God. How many have ever come across people who have a false image of God? Moses had a practice of going into the tent. I think it was the tabernacle, but it says the tent. And he goes and he meets with God, it says, face to face. I don't know what that exactly looked like, but when he came out of there, there was a glow on his face. people say there's something different about this guy. My friends, anybody who has been in the presence of God and experienced his, hear me, nurturing love. I'm going to say that again, his nurturing love, because remaining in his love is a nurturing love. They are different. There's something different about them. There's a love coming out of them. There's forgiveness coming out of them. There's grace coming out of them. They're able to turn the other cheek. But there's one more thing I will say. And that is, when you come into the presence of God and you begin to have his heart, then you become an intercessor. Let me just say one more thing. Coming in to the presence of God and remaining in his love means coming to him without an agenda. I'm trying to learn this. We're doing it on Tuesday nights. We're coming here and we actually say we have no agendas. We just want to worship you, Jesus. My friends, if you want to remain in his love, there is an intimacy with God that comes when you say, I'm not coming here because I have needs. I'm coming here because I want to spend time with you. And I'm going to worship you. Amen. There is a place in the hearts of God where you experience his nurturing love. So, Moses goes up the mountain. Moses goes into the tent. He meets with God. But then comes another part that always will happen when you begin to experience his intimate love. You become an intercessor. You begin to stand in a gap of the things that God wants to see happening. So one day, Moses says, God says to Moses, go in to that promised land I've given you, and I'll send an angel with you. Remember reading that? I'll send an angel. And Moses says, because now he has the heart of God, and he's now interceding. This is a prayer. He's interceding with his father, with God the Father, and says, oh, no, 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 God. I'm going nowhere without your presence. My friends, we frequently like to do things on our own strength. Can I just say something? Without his presence, I can't even preach this sermon. Without his presence, nothing will happen in this church today that is of God. We can go through motions, we can go through songs. Renee didn't come up here. He didn't come up here just to let me play a song. She had prayed and says, God, what song do you want me to sing today? She prepared her heart for intimacy with God. That the songs she sang wouldn't come just from here, but it would come from here. My friends, Moses said, I'm not going nowhere unless your presence come with me. If you go into the next passage, my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. There's something about being led by the Spirit that gives you rest. Because you know it's not in your power, it's not in your strength, but it is in his. Let me give you a funny illustration of this, a modern day illustration of this, of intercession. How many knows intercession means I stand in the gap for somebody else? He stood in the gap for Israel, okay? How many standing in the gap for somebody? So, Tony Campello, I don't know if you guys know him, or have at least maybe heard of him. He's a Christian sociologist, has a Baptist background, not Pentecostal, but he goes to a Pentecostal college to do a chapel. And he tells a story, okay? He says, before he went into the chapel to give his message, there was 8 pastors praying for him, Pentecostal pastors. And they put their hand on him, and he said, that was good. The problem was, it was lengthy prayers. And the longer they got, the heavier his the hands got, and the heavier his head got from their hands laying on it. And he said, and one person didn't even pray about him. He prayed about a guy called Charlie Stutzel. He says, Lord, Charlie Stutzel is about to leave his family with wife and three kids. And you know, Lord, he lives in that silver trailer down the road about a mile from here on the right side. And Tony was thinking, man, you don't need to tell God where he lives. He knows where he lives. And he kept praying for this Charlie. Finally, it was over. He goes to give his message. He gets in his car, and he drives down the street. As he comes down the street, there's a hitchhiker. He picks up the hitchhiker, and he says, my name is Tony Campello. What's your name? My name is Charlie. He says, your name is Charlie, and you have three kids? He says, I have three kids. He comes to the intersection. He turns around, and Charlie says, where are you going? I'm going to take you home. How do you know where I live? He says, God told me where you live. He went down the mile from the church, silver trailer, stopped the silver trailer, let him out. He came to the door, and his wife said, you're back, you're back. And he tried to tell his wife what just happened. And then Tony took the opportunity. He said, listen, you two, sit down. I'm going to tell you about Jesus, who knows something about you more than you know about yourself. And he led them to Jesus. What happened? That pastor, my friends, didn't have that unction to pray like that without him having been in the intimate presence of the Father. When he sat down to put his hand on Tony, things came on him that came from the Spirit. They wanted to bring life and hope to a family that was broken and hurting. Amen says amen. When you come into the presence of God, not to get something, but just to worship him, he will give you a heart of intercession. If you look at all the heroes, Daniel, what did Daniel do? Every day, three times a day, he opened the window and he prayed. He spent time with God. What did David do? I think in Psalm 27 he says, in my heart I seek your face I seek. Remember that story. David wrote Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me lay down in the green pastures beside the still waters. He restores my soul. David had learned to be among the sheep in the wilderness and bow down. And there he bowed down and he talked to his Father in heaven. And he met with him. And out of that came a lot of the songs. Amen. A lot of the songs came from there. Be still and know that I am God. The place in the heart of God where you actually get nurtured is the place when you come not with an agenda, as I said before, but it comes with one purpose only. It is to glorify Jesus. Jesus, I love you. I don't know what happened, but you found me in the wilderness. You pulled me out of my own despair, my own brokenness, and you gave me hope, Jesus. Jesus, you paid the price for my sins that I have eternity with you. Jesus, my home is not here on earth. My home is in heaven. Jesus, I'm clothed not with my own righteousness, but by your righteousness. I have been washed clean and cleansed by the blood, by your blood. I have authority in the name of Jesus. I have authority over the enemy. I can tell the enemy to go. All my needs should be met according to the glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I can come like that. And I can worship. Now, one of the ways that we connect with God is through His Word. How many have ever read the Bible? But don't read the Bible just to get some knowledge. I was in seminary, and part of the seminary was to read it because we had to have some knowledge. And that's okay. That's okay when you go to seminary. But you're not in seminary. You are living the life of Christ. And tomorrow you have issues. Today you have issues. Today you're going to face people. Tomorrow you're going to face issues with health or money or whatever they are that comes with life. But the Word, my friends, is alive. And when you meditate on it, not as something you have to memorize or something that you have to know, but something that God wants to give to you to transform you. So when you read the scriptures, read it as if I'm meeting with God. Amen. Let Him fill you. And remember, you're not doing this just to get something. You're doing it to have fellowship with God Almighty, who loves you more than you can imagine. Jesus had a practice. In Mark chapter 1, where did he go? He went up in the hills and prayed. We know in Gethsemane he prayed. He probably had a places where he could draw away from the crowds and pray. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they explained, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let's go somewhere else to the nearby village so I can preach there. Also, that is why I have come." I just say, what did Jesus do? I think it was an everyday thing. He drew away spending time with the Father in heaven. Even though he's God, he spent time with his Father. And what happens next? The next thing is, he sees a man with leprosy. Can I want to say this one more thing? I told you that when you go into the presence of God and you have an intimate relationship with Jesus, you end up becoming an intercessor. But the second thing that happens is, you see people differently. Jesus came down from the mountain and he saw a man who had leprosy. What is a man of leprosy in those days? It's a man who was a throwaway. Don't touch them. Put them in a camp. If they are coming close to you, they are supposed to ring a bell. They were not supposed to be touched. Some of them had not been touched by a human being for 40 or 30 years. This leper had heard about Jesus. He comes and he says, "Jesus, if you're willing, would you heal me, cleanse me? Would you cleanse me?" And Jesus says, "I'm willing." And as you heard and read it yourself, he didn't just speak it. He touched. Sometimes we are so afraid of that they're going to be contagious. That there is some contagious things about my neighbor. So don't talk to him. But he's lonely. I was at Healing Laws and a lady was sentenced to murder. And it was all in the news. And remember her? What's her name again? Doesn't matter. And she came into our Bible study class because I asked for her. And my friends, Terry Lynn, that's it. My friends, when I saw Terry Lynn, I didn't see a murder. I saw a broken human being who had been taken over by the kingdom of darkness, brought into hell and out again. And yes, there's justice, and yes, there needs to be consequences. But at that moment, I just saw the mercy of God and the love of God towards that person. And that's all I could speak. My friends, when you are in the presence of the living God, you have that intimate relationship with Him. You abide in His love. You see people differently. You don't see them as all the faults. You don't see them how cranky and stupid and whatever, you know, they are at times. How many of you have been one of those who sometimes have done things you shouldn't have done? And sometimes said things you shouldn't have said. And wish you could get it back. And you're thankful that your friends, your wife, your spouse, your husband still has some grace. Knowing that, yeah, maybe they shouldn't have said that, but they still love you. Amen. When you are in the presence of the love of the Father who nurtures you, you will see people very different. And my friends, if you don't, time to get back in that secret place. Time, when you're full of anger and hateful and resentfulness towards somebody, it's time to get back. Because my friends, it's not them. It is your connection. One of my heroes of faith is Heidi Baker. Heidi Baker is one of the greatest missionaries that I know of. She oversees 10,000 churches, thousands of orphans. She has villages that's flooded. Pastors were killed by persecution. And she says this: I come to God not to have a ministry, but to love Jesus. He says, my call, my one call, my only call is to love Jesus. And she says, without Him, I can do nothing. And she says, every day, with the phone ringing, the problems coming, I spend time in the presence of my God. And all I do is I love Him. She says, sometimes I go swimming. I said, Jesus, come swimming with me. So you don't have to necessarily sit on a chair. You can go for a walk. You can run. You can lay on your bed, kneel on the couch, whatever it takes. And she says, when she comes, she doesn't fix upon what she needs. She picks about Jesus. One day she says, she came to the orphanage. She was in the beginning of her ministry. And the communists had come in and they had taken everything, and there was only ketchup in the cupboards. In this whole warehouse. Ketchup. That's all she had for 350 kids. And she didn't know what to do. The communists had shut her down because they're worshiping Jesus. How many have been in places where you don't know what to do? So they sit down, and all night she just worshiped. Thank you, Jesus. You're my provider. You're my God. You're my El Shaddai. You're all I ever need. God, these are your kids. This is your ministry, God. I'm just your servant. In the morning, a truck pulled in, full of food. She never met them. She never met them since. They came and unloaded the food. And they had a miracle. I'm saying to you that the miracles of God flows through that intimacy with Him. I'm trying to learn this. I'm trying to learn it's not about what I'd like to see and what I want. It's really all about Him. And the rest will come by itself. So when I address, okay, so okay, would you give me one more minute? I have just one little thought. I think it's a good thought. I think it's a God thought. She said one day, God told her she was going to see the blind see. And so she saw three blind women healed instantly. And she thought, wow, she's going to have a ministry of miracles. Then God said, Heidi, you are blind. He said, what do you mean blind? And she said, look. And she saw the Western church, our church, the North American church. And she said, what she saw was the church was naked, hungry, poor. Remember the scripture in Revelation? They think they're wealthy and they don't need God. The next one line is, but they're wretched, they're poor, they're naked. She said, I saw the church in North America. They don't need food, but they are drinking and eating things that will not satisfy. Remember Isaiah 55? I'm going to end it with a scripture. Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good and you will delight in the riches of all. When you enter into that presence of God through thanksgiving, through praise, and you let him nurture your heart, let him nurture your brokenness, let him speak to you through the word, my friends, your soul is satisfied. No sports, no TV, no distraction of this world can ever fill that place in your heart. Amen. She says there's actually more spiritual orphans in North America than there is in Africa. So I don't know how to end it, but God knows. So will you close your eyes? So Father, I had one prayer the other day. And it was that you would teach me and you would teach this church how to enter that place of remaining in their love. That, Father, we would grow in our ability to love as you love. And I know that that can never happen unless we experience that nurturing love ourselves. So, Father, would you show us how we can abide in that on a day-to-day basis? When we come to the mountain, we come up to meet with you, God, not with an agenda, but simply just to meet with you. That you take all our attitudes, all our brokenness, take all our lack of esteem, self-esteem, and bring healing to our inner hearts. That when we speak love and praise. When we speak about our brothers and sisters in Christ in the church, we speak your language, God. The language of honor and glory and praise. Father, when we speak about anyone else, God, we speak as you would have them speak, people who are in potential for becoming more Christ-like. Father, would you help us not just to do the right things, but actually to enter that place in your heart where we experience your deep, satisfying, refreshing love. Would you help us, God, to take all our issues, all our pains, all our frustrations, all our struggles, and just lay it at the door when we call into our closet or into wherever we go to pray with you. That Father will be one-minded, and that is to worship you and seek your face. So, Father, I just pray blessings on the church, God. I believe we're on this journey of learning to be a family of God. And there's one thing that a family needs, and it is to love one another. Amen. In Jesus' name.